We are sharing on the two witnesses. This is the two witnesses, the witnesses of the living God. In the first recording, we saw how Jesus Christ sent his disciples two by two. In twos, he sent them into cities. Into cities that he was about to enter into. He sent his disciples by twos ahead of him. And we established that these disciples going in twos into cities that Jesus Christ was to appear in represent the two witnesses that go forth to prepare the way of the Lord. Those that receive the two witnesses are those who will be saved. They are the ones in reality who will manifest the coming of the Lord in his fullness. Those who receive these two witnesses are the ones that will be made whole. They will be healed totally and resurrected and exalted back to life. These are the two witnesses. Receiving the two witnesses, they are the ones that will reveal Christ in the flesh. Because in reality, when we are healed, when we are fully resurrected, then we know that we are him and he is us. In the resurrection, there is only one being, and that is Christ the Spirit. See, while men are in deep sleep, in slumber, in ignorance, spiritual ignorance, they formed all forms of images, all forms of, you know, idols out of their vain complaints, you know, vain imaginations. Nations, tongues, different school of thoughts, opinions, beliefs, and all these things are dissolved when a man awakes. Because when you are awakened, you will discover that there is only one living one, which is the Christ. So those who will receive these two witnesses are the ones who receive the message that the Lord is revealing in this hour. The ones that receive the revelation light that is springing forth from the heart of the Father in this hour. Because receiving the two witnesses is receiving the Father, is receiving God, is hearing God. See, but despising the two witnesses amounts to despising God, amounts to insulting the Spirit of grace. Oh, praise God. See, no man can resist the truth. No man can war against the truth. The truth will definitely prevail. Just like light shining in darkness. Darkness cannot withhold light, cannot withstand light. It must succumb to the light. So likewise, man, once the truth stands before you, just a matter of time. Doesn't matter how long, you will eventually submit to that truth. Oh, praise God. So Jesus Christ warns that those who do not receive it, it will be more tolerable for them. It will be more tolerable for those of Sodom and Gomorrah, those of old Nineveh, Sodom, Tyre, all these ancient cities that were overthrown because of their iniquity, because of their unrighteousness. When you receive the message of grace, can be rest assured that, you know, things begin to happen in your life. See, the fountains of joy that you once had begin to dry up. Things don't work exactly the way you expect it anymore. Oh, praise God. So it's always good to call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found. To embrace this grace. Receive this word of truth that is able to save you. Oh, hallelujah. We spoke about Lot. How that the two angels represent the two witnesses that entered into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot embraced them. And symbolically, he was raised up. He was healed. He was saved. On the other hand, we saw what happened to those who despised them, those who attempted to dishonor the witnesses of the Lord, those who could not discern the messengers of God. Oh, hallelujah. You saw what happened to them. They were overthrown with brimstone and fire, destroyed, utterly destroyed. Lot was ushered into safety, but that generation of Sodom and Gomorrah, those who were left behind, were totally destroyed. Praise God, this is prophetic. It's something that occurs from age to age. Hallelujah. It's either you are for me or you are against me. Either you embrace the truth or you try to stand against the truth. Thank God for what he's saying in this hour. Oh, praise God. Let's quickly turn to the book of Revelations. Chapter 3, verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Let's stop there. This says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. See, we are seeing that word there, the true witness. See, we are sharing on the two witnesses. And we can see Christ is that true witness. He's the spirit of truth. See, Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. He's the one from the beginning. He's the one, the very, very one from the beginning. And out of him, or through him, was created everything that is seen and unseen and whatever. I'm the beginning of the creation of God. I'm the true witness. The faithful and true witness. Praise God. God is calling on his people today to receive this faithful and true witness, so that they can once more reign in life. First of all, embrace this true witness so that you too can stand in your place in the beginning as a true witness. If you look up in the sky and you see the stars blinking and twinkling, what you are seeing is a picture of the true and faithful witness, of which you and I are a part. Our work is simply just to testify of the truth. Light bearers, emanating truth, speaking truth, displaying truth, the faithful and true witnesses. Hallelujah. Speaking speaking exactly the way we hear from the Father, and walking after the originality of all things, not after the vain imagination of men. For we know that men have been plunged into a system whose foundation is simply lies. The false witness, like the book of Proverbs, will not find escape. The false witness is, you know, destined to die. The false witness is simply the man of the flesh. See, when you walk in error, when you walk in relation to the flesh, in relation to the natural, in relation to the invisible, you are simply a false witness. To be a true witness, we must embrace the truth, the revelation of Christ in this hour, and begin to walk after the Spirit. Because besides Christ the Spirit, remember, Christ is that Spirit. Besides Him, there is none other. Praise God. Once we have received this true witness in our hearts concerning Christ, the revelation of Christ, who is the image of God, and we are conformed to that, and we walk in relation to the truth, once our obedience is complete, then we can appear also as the two witnesses. Praise God. Of course, you do not have to wait for something to happen to begin to do this. Right from the moment you begin to perceive truth, right where you stand, whether you are on an island, whether you are in a city, wherever you stand, just begin to exercise yourself in truth where you are right now. It's just simple. It's just a matter of walking after the Spirit and speaking after the Spirit. So begin to receive and hear and speak only what the Father sees and hears and says. Jesus Christ says, "I speak what I hear the Father say." Meaning He spoke truth. See, He was governed by a spirit that is not of this age. Remember in the letter to the Corinthians, Paul says that we have been given the Spirit of God so that we can know the depths of God. So that we can understand the depths of God. We function by the deep thoughts of God, not by the imaginations of men or by the wisdom of this age, but by a celestial hidden wisdom that is nested in the living God. That is truth. Praise God. When we operate in that spirit, when we operate in that spirit, we also become the true witnesses. See it. And it's only by this spirit, it's only by walking in the truth, that we can receive that glorification that we seek. See, glorification, to inherit immortality, incorruptibility, glorification so that we can rediscover our true nature, which is exactly the nature of God. Praise God. The book of Revelation talked about the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth, who stood upon Mount Zion, and they had the Father's name written upon their forehead. It's a new nature, the characteristics of God. Oh, praise God. These are the ones that have been glorified. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was taken up in a cloud at the end of his ministry. We saw in the book of Mark how Jesus Christ was lifted up after speaking. speaking to the disciples, the Bible says he was lifted up and taken away into heaven. The account in Acts chapter 1 says that he was taken up into, taken away in a cloud. We talk of the glory of God. And we know this is the same hope of the saints. For 1 Thessalonians says that we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. And this thing is happening right now. As you begin to confess the truth, as you begin to walk in the truth, in the revelation light of your true identity, your true incorruptible, invisible self in the image of God, you are glorified. You find yourself being taken up. Oh, praise God. Now we are going to Revelation chapter 11. We are going to dig into the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. Bear in mind that what you read in the book of Revelation, simply prophetic, these are events that occur within us individually and corporately. See, the book of Revelation is something that repeats itself again and again from generation to generation. See, the happenings in the book of Revelation occurred in the days of the disciples. They occurred in the days of Jesus. See, they keep unfolding and they occur again and again and again. Today, those of us who are receiving the revelation of truth and awakening to truth, what we read in the book of Revelation is being fulfilled again in you. It's a continuous process. Praise God. So let us understand that it's not talking about something that will happen tomorrow externally. First of all, it starts with you, in you. Praise God. It's all about the unveiling of the seed of God in you, the unveiling of Christ in you, the unveiling of the Son of the Most High in you. That is what revelation is all about. See, the Lord will use allegories to explain to us, because that is the only way the Spirit can communicate with men who are so used to, living in relation to a material world. So the Spirit of God uses the things that are seen, the beggarly elements of this world, to teach us spiritual things. So when you see different signs of cities falling, dragons in the air, dragons coming out of the sea, blood in the sea, scorpions here and there, and all these things you see in the book of Revelation are spiritual signs. They do occur, they do exist, they are real. See, but they are spiritual. Oh, praise God. This is occur as we hear the truth and as the work of God goes forth in the midst of the earth. Revelation chapter 11. I'm going to start from verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see the dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life upon them, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, "Come up hither." And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. Praise God. And we just saw a prophetic spiritual event that occurs as the two witnesses go forth to do their witness, to do their work. So two witnesses, like I told you, you can look at it in two dimensions, both spiritually and outwardly. Praise God. The two witnesses have to prophesy within us. Within us, how many of us realize that individually we are a city? We are a country. Oh, praise God. Sodom, Gomorrah, Egypt, spiritually talks of the realm of the flesh. So it's the carnal realm, it's the dimension of the carnal, where the natural men who do not know the things of God live. It is the realm of men that is spiritually called Sodom and Gomorrah and Egypt. Praise God. The whole world lies in thick darkness. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one that is good. There is not one upon the earth that is good or does well in the sight of God. There is no such thing as a good man. All are sinned and falling short of the glory of God. All are transgressors. All have done abominable works. All. Oh, praise God. Now the two witnesses have to prophesy within you first, revealing the truth, speaking the truth. That's what the two witnesses do. Simple. They are simply revealing the truth, dispelling the darkness, your beliefs about who you are, what you are, where you come from, and revealing the true creation of God. You're revealing the Father, revealing the universal body of Christ to you. That is what the true witness is doing. Praise God. It's causing you to awake from carnal living, from the vanities of the age. Causes you to awaken into a new life. Praise God. Hallelujah. I say, and once these two witnesses begin to prophesy within you, once you begin to hear the voice of the Father, see, you cannot war against the truth. You must be for the truth. See it? At times when you try to rebel against this truth, and you try to turn your back on the two witnesses that is speaking speaking within you is very much like the beast coming out of the bottomless pit within you to war against the truth. But I can assure you, we've been through all that before and it will never work. You cannot be against the truth. You must align yourself with the truth. Praise God. And as these two witnesses prophesy, we see all kind of things happening within our very bodies, within our very selves. So now I'm talking about the effect of the two witnesses within us individually first. Praise God. The Bible says that they have power to shut the heaven so that it does not rain. They have powers to turn the waters into blood. They have the power to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. He talks of the spiritual torment and the spiritual anguish of soul that those who rebel against the truth pass through. Hallelujah. We saw what happened in Egypt when they tried to resist Moses. Pharaoh and his people tried to resist Moses. We saw the plagues with which they were plagued. We saw the plagues with which those in Sodom and Gomorrah were plagued with. They were smitten with blindness as they tried to war against the two witnesses of God. Oh, praise God. In fact, in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul likens, you know, those who resist the truth to Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres represent the two magicians that tried to withstand Moses and Joshua as they prophesied over Egypt. See it? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest to all men, as theirs also was. Praise God. Now you see what happens here? Moses and Joshua acting as the two witnesses, witnesses of truth. Jannes and Jambres represent, you know, the opposing force, represent, you know, the forces of darkness, the rebellion against the truth. Oh, praise God. You see, prophetically, Egypt was called Rahab. Rahab means the dragon. So it's that beast that tries to war against the truth. So you see, anything that within you that tries to war against the truth, see, you can be rest assured that it will not work. See, that word of God that has been sent to you will surely accomplish its will, no matter how long it takes. It will accomplish that which it was sent forth to do within you, and that is to raise you up and to present you perfect before the face of the Father. Oh, praise God. As the two witnesses speak, it levels all, you know, how do I put it, earthly wisdom that you have acquired in this dark age. See, the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It sets you free from the illusion of your mortal lives. And it raises you up. It quickens you. Remember the words of Moses and Joshua to Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people go. that they may serve me. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me. Let my people go. See it. The two witnesses are simply there to bring about a liberation from mortality and to cause you to enter into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. See, every nation, everything in us that tries to resist this witness will be leveled. So that when our obedience is completed, praise God, when our obedience is completed, we also go forth as the two witnesses, revealing the perfection of God before the nations of the earth. Praise God. The Bible says that the two witnesses, we're looking at it externally now, the two witnesses were clothed in sackcloth and ashes, and they prophesied for 42 months. See it. Sackcloth and ashes talks about repentance. It talks about fasting. Repentance from dead works. Those who we stand externally, stand before this world as the true and faithful witnesses, are those who will put on sackcloth and ashes, spiritually speaking, and prophesy 42 months. See it. Somebody will ask, how do you fast today? You fast today by speaking truth. Now, the natural man likes to speak lies. He likes to be laid there idle and to speak the vanities that flow out of his vain thinking. See, but a true fast, like we see in Isaiah 58, is all about living after the Spirit, speaking the truth after the Spirit. Not speaking your own words as a man, but speaking the truth from the heart of the Father. Walking in the truth. Exercising yourself to becoming the bread of life. Exercising yourself to breaking the yokes and setting the prisoners free. First of all, you apply the truth. You break the yokes by speaking truth and by applying truth. Oh, praise God. It's all about keeping the Sabbath, which is, like I said, is an eternal day. Walking in relation to the face of the Father. Walking in relation to the Spirit. Speaking truth. That is repentance. Denying yourself daily and walking after the revelation of Christ. That is a fast. And I can tell you, at times it might even be more difficult to do this than to just deny yourself food. See, prophesying in sackcloth and ashes. Speaking truth. Speaking what the Father reveals to you from, you know, beyond the veil. Walking in truth. See it. This is a period of prophecy that every child must exercise himself in. Day and night you must speak the truth. Walk in the truth. It's not a matter of going out to the city center and speaking out for everybody to hear. But rather exercise yourself in this truth and walk in it. Oh, praise God. As you walk as the two witnesses, you are simply acting as those two witnesses Jesus Christ sent forth in twos. Remember, Jesus Christ sent 70 disciples in twos into the cities. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And of course, as you speak the truth and walk in the truth, you manifest the love of God. We're walking in the revelation that we all are one from the foundation of the world. Recognizing that God is love. Oh, praise God. And we see what happens, that as you do this thing, there is nobody can resist you. No man can withstand you all the days of your life. Praise God. Those who receive your testimony are saved and enter into the, you know, into the rest of the Lord. And those who reject that thing that you say simply have the wrath of God to contend. You see, the Bible says that the judgment of the world has been given, handed over to the saints. It's actually the saints that will judge the world. Now, it does not mean that the saints go about looking for who they will punish or what they will do to put somebody in trouble, or, you know, the saints actually don't go out and prophesy to the heavens to stop raining. The saints don't go about, you know, pronouncing curses upon people. Of course, we saw that in the days of Elijah, who could, you know, kill all the prophets of Baal, who prophesied that you should stop raining. The saints of God don't do that. See it? You don't do that. You see, the judgment of God comes spontaneously for those who reject the truth. See, you do not have to go about cursing people. You don't have to go about, you know, thinking of what to do against somebody, how to judge somebody. Our own mandate is simply to walk in love and truth. Praise God. And as we manifest this love and truth and speak the truth, the revelation truth as it comes forth from the Father, you see, judgment goes upon automatically, spontaneously, unto those who reject it. You don't have to do anything. Praise God. When some people hear this truth and try to go back to hide in the systems of religion or in the hypocrisy of religion, they will discover that they can never find the joy that they once knew when they hadn't heard the truth. Anybody that stands before you and hears the truth and, you know, perceives the truth in you can never go back to be the same again. The waters will be dried up. Rains won't fall on him anymore. See, he will never find that satisfaction or peace ever again until he submits himself to the truth. Praise God. That's how it functions. See, you might be somewhere manifesting love and speaking the truth and serving the brethren, and you already the judgment of God or the judgment against all ungodliness is already at work without you even knowing. Praise God. We have some people who come up years later and told me that, you know, I used to be very scared when you used to come around years ago to preach. Oh, man, that it really gave me a lot of trouble, you know. I had sleepless nights. I always saw you in visions. I always saw you in my dreams. I always heard your voice anywhere I went. See, there's no rest for those who rebel against the truth, who withstand the truth. Praise God. This explains what it means by the plagues and the torment that awaits those who do not receive the testimony of truth. Praise God. Of course, we know that even in the days of Jesus, when Jesus Christ walked as the true witness upon the earth, we know he never cursed people. He never spoke bad about people. All he did was to speak the truth and to walk in the truth. Manifest the love of God. And wherever he will go, the spirits will scream out. They were tormented at his presence. See it. The scribes and Pharisees, the leaders of the religion of that day, were tormented at his doctrine and his presence. They knew that he was speaking the truth, and they couldn't stop him. Oh, praise God. This is the beast that comes out from the sea to attack the two witnesses, those people who crucified Jesus. They crucified Jesus in a place that is termed spiritually Sodom and Egypt. It is the world. It is this realm of men, the princes of this age, the rulers of the darkness of this age, that war against the mind of God, war against the truth of God. And that same thing that happened to Jesus still occurs again and again and again and again. That is why Paul was killed. That is why some of the disciples were killed later. That is why some of you are kicked out of fellowship. Some of you are branded heretics. See, whenever the truth goes forth, there is a reaction. The beast comes out from the bottomless pit to make war against the truth. It's something that is continuous. It never ends. See, we've been to fellowship before to preach where we were attacked. See it? We've heard in churches how people, the pastor spoke on their pulpit, that people should not go, people should not come for our seminars. Why? Because we simply speak the truth. And the truth sets people free. Free from everything. Free from the bondage of men. Free from the systems of religion. And religion does not want that. Religion does not want you to know that you are perfect as he is perfect. The systems of religion don't want you to realize that you do not need them to get to the Father. See, because the religion knows that the moment that you know the truth, they wouldn't have you to be paying tithes to them anymore. They wouldn't have you to fill their seats in their churches anymore. See, anybody who will enter into this company of the two witnesses is not here to gather or make a name, unto himself upon the earth. He's not here to gather people into big churches and all that. Rather, he's here to gather people unto God. Jesus Christ never came to make peace upon the earth. He never came to bring about structural organizations upon the earth. Rather, he came to gather us into the glory cloud of God, which is into the invisible. Our fellowship is in heavenly places. Praise God. Don't let people put you in bondages. Don't let men put you in bondage. Walk in the liberty that God has called you to walk in. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, praise God. So you see, the beast comes out of the bottomless pit to make war against the two witnesses. We saw this as they came forth to kill Jesus and to crucify Jesus. We see this as they come forth to stop you. They try to, to silence you. What they are simply doing is crucifying Jesus afresh. You are rejecting the revelation of Christ. You are rejecting The revelation of the Son of God is simply amounts to crucifying the Lord of flesh. And that is what is happening and happens continuously. See, but nobody can stop the flow of the Spirit. Praise God. We saw what happened to Jesus when he was killed. The Bible says he resurrected. He resurrected from the dead. And we saw what happened, that he even multiplied. It was one Jesus going about speaking the truth and doing miracles in the days of his flesh. But after his death, the numbers increased. They could see Christ here and Christ there and Christ here and Christ there. The same one that they crucified was risen again from the dead. In likewise manner, men cannot stop the work of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The more men try to stop the work in you, the more men try to, you know, crucify you, the higher the Lord lifts you up. Come up hither. You hear the word there? Come up hither. This was the word of God from heaven to the two witnesses. Come up hither. Praise God. Where are they coming up hither to? Into the glory of God. See it. Jesus Christ also was taken up in that cloud. The Bible says that the two witnesses were taken up in a cloud. Who talks of the glorification process? See, those of us who have suffered with Christ, who have endured with Christ, who have followed him and spoken the truth with Christ, will also reign with him in life. We also will be glorified. If anyone serves me, him will my Father glorify. We serve the Lord by simply speaking truth, by walking in truth, walking in the revelation light of Christ, the light that is shining in this hour. That is how we serve the Lord. Oh, praise God. The Lord has promised glory. He has promised honor, incorruptibility, immortality. See, when the Lord says, come up hither, we enter into the cloud of his glory. It's immortal glory. It's a light cloud. It's a spiritual cloud. That represents the gathering of the saved of the Lord. See it. Those who inherit immortality, those who enter into God's kingdom. Praise God. If you hear this word, the Bible says the hour has come to begin to speak truth. Put on your sackcloth, which is symbolic of fasting, and begin to speak truth. Repent. Change your mind. Change your comprehension and begin to walk in the revelation light of Christ in this hour. See, this is the great salvation the Father is revealing to us in this hour. Praise God. We stand as the two witnesses upon the face of the earth, speaking truth. Hallelujah. Where my servant is, where I am, is there my servant will be also. That is the glorification the Father has promised us. He brings us back into the place of the I am of Christ. It brings us back into the place of all power and all dominion, to the place of life, immortal life and light. This is the privilege that the Father has given to us today. We who speak truth. Oh, praise God. The book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse 25 says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. See, the true witness, by your testimony, when you stand in your place as the true witness of God, when you stand in the place as one of those two witnesses, revealing the truth, the heartbeat of the Father to creation, You become a life giver, delivering souls of men. See, but a deceitful witness. Praise God. A deceitful witness is one who walks in the lie of his human identity. Oh, praise God. And God in this hour, you know, is trying to, you know, deliver us from that lying tongue that speaks carnality. That lying tongues that does not know truth. See, the natural man is a false witness. The man of the earth is a false witness. Our mandate as saints called to God's kingdom is to learn to speak truth again. It's only by standing as true witnesses wherever we are that we can escape the corruption that is in this world. Praise God. What we just read in Revelation chapter 11 concerning the true witness, it's an event that is occurring right now within us as we hear the truth and exercise ourselves in the truth, not minding the opposition. See it. But continuing in the truth. Praise God. We know that the end is the end of perfect peace and perfect glory. Praise God. Any nation that stands against the truth will be overthrown. Hallelujah. For we cannot stand war against the truth, but be for the truth. God bless you, brethren. Amen.
Now will you turn to yourself, to yourself? Now will you say, your fragrance has left Lebanon, Lebanon. Blossom as the lily.